Joy is shared, say Amazon, which presumably means we need to use Amazon to help spread the joy, or at least their profits. But they are onto something, aren't they? Joy is for sharing, and it's so much better when we share joy with other people, whether that's family or friends or colleagues. And of course, Christmas time is meant to be a joyful time, a time of sharing joy with those we love. But I don't want to completely burst the bubble, but how many of us are really feeling joyful this Christmas time? So yes, it's nice to get away, isn't it, to enjoy singing some carols in the candlelight. But the reality is, such joy is fleeting. There isn't really much joy out in the world, is there? This time last Christmas, we were experiencing one war in Europe, and now there are two. And in our own country, things don't exactly seem to be getting better, do they? The world is pretty broken. And at the risk of making a political comment, I'm not. I don't think a change of government is going to bring too much joy to us this coming year or next. But it's Christmas. Surely there is some joy to be had. And the answer of the Bible is a resounding yes. There is joy to be had, but it's not in the places we might expect. Not necessarily from friends or family or Christmas traditions. Those things may or may not bring us joy, depending on our circumstances. No, what we're going to see tonight is that there is joy from God alone. He has given us a present so amazing that it can fill us with joy for all eternity. And that present is talked about by the shepherds, who come to the angels and tell them that there is good news of great joy for all people. And that, in a nutshell, is what Christmas is all about. The joy of the Christmas message is something our very dark world so desperately needs to hear, particularly in 2023. So just for a few minutes this evening, I want to explain to you why the Christmas story is good news of great joy for all people. And in this story of the shepherds, which we had read earlier, you'll find it on the back of the little white cards if you want to follow along. I'm going to suggest to you there are three reasons for joy. First, Christmas is about truth, not myth. It's about truth, not myth. Now, often for us grown-ups, the assumption is the Christmas nativity story is just a nice story that has very little to do with actual historical events. We put it in the same category as elves and the Muppet Christmas Carol or something like that. I mean, it's great for the children, nice for sentimental reasons, but it would never cross our minds that these things actually happened in real history. But the claim of the writer this evening is that, yes, these things really did happen in real time and history. Because the author, a man called Luke, was a doctor. He was a well-trained, rational scientist. And at the very start of his book, chapter 1, he says, look, I've carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I am writing you an eyewitness account. The implication is Luke has actually gone round speaking to the eyewitnesses, people like Mary. He's gathered evidence. He's compiled a report. And his gospel is eyewitness testimony to the life and teaching of Jesus. In fact, if you wanted to do some historical research on that, there are excellent books which help you to do that. Luke is saying, look, I've carefully investigated everything and I've laid out this truth for you. Now, Luke isn't naive. There are some very strange things in this story, aren't there? There's a virgin birth, for example. There are angels. Luke knows that. Remember, he's a first century doctor, a rational scientist. It is unusual, but that's not to say it didn't happen. And Luke is saying, I want you to be sure of the certainty of these things. And you'll notice in verse 1 of our little story that Luke mentions a man called Augustus. He was the Roman emperor at the time. And he commanded a census to be taken of the whole Roman world. And we know that happened. He's recording exactly what happened. And men and women like Mary and Joseph had to go back to their hometown to be registered. Luke sets the story his historical story in the context of first century Israel. He's telling us the truth. Now, that is very different to today's world, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, when I look at websites, when I watch the news, it's very hard to work out what is truth and fiction, isn't it? The whole rise of AI and deep fakes leave us very suspicious of anything. I don't know if you've noticed, the BBC have now an entire new department checking stories to see if they're true. So BBC Verify seeks to verify pictures and videos to see if they're authentic. That's been particularly seen in the Israel-Hamas war at the moment. We know it's a big issue. But Luke is saying, I have Luke verified this gospel story for you. I've interviewed the eyewitnesses. I want you to be sure these things are true. They may be unusual, but true. We can know truth in a world of untruth. That's the first cause of joy. But then secondly, another cause for joy is that the Christmas story is about a cross, not a crib. It's about a cross, not a crib. Now that may strike you as being very, very odd, because surely the whole Christmas story focuses on a crib. In fact, our children did a presentation this morning and the whole focus was on a crib. Surely the Christmas story is about the crib. Well, of course it is. The shepherds discover that. You know the story from our reading. The shepherds are in some fields just outside of Bethlehem. In fact, you can still visit those fields today. And they're looking after their sheep by night. And suddenly, some angels appear to them and give them a message about a new baby. And the shepherds go and visit this baby. And in verse 12, they have a clue as to how to find him. The angel says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Now, we may think, well, that's not a great clue. But Bethlehem was a very small village, and not many women would have given birth that particular evening in that tiny little village. It wouldn't have been hard to track down a newborn baby. That's exactly what they do. And when they discover this baby, they find him lying in a manger, wrapped in cloths, because there was no guest room available for him. The baby is put in a spare feeding trough. It's all very rough and ready. But why is the birth of this baby good news of great joy for all people? I mean, surely a newborn baby born to a teenage mum in a tiny village is not good news of great joy for all people. More likely, possibly okay news of some joy, maybe to a few people. But the crib is not the point. There is something else about this baby which is so much more significant than his birth, because his birth really is good news of great joy for all people. Because the angels say to the shepherds in verse 11 something about this baby. Not only was he born in a manger, but today in the town of David a savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The good news is Jesus is a savior for all people. Now, what does that mean? Well, if I was to ask you, and I won't do this, I won't ask you to put up your hand, but imagine if I were to ask you, what do you think is the greatest need for the human race? Some of us might say, well, it's strong leadership. Certainly, that's what our country needs, we might say. Maybe we would say, well, we just need to love each other more deeply to lay aside prejudice and racism. Maybe we would say, well, we just need to be better educated. That would help. Maybe a quick and effective justice system. That would sort out all the problems, wouldn't it? Maybe a cure for cancer. That would be terrific. Well, all those things are important, but the Bible makes it clear what is our biggest problem and our biggest need. Our biggest problem is actually me and you, ourselves. Winston Churchill once said in a speech to Parliament in the 1950s that the biggest issue of the human race is the human heart. The biggest issue of the human race is the human race, because our hearts are predisposed to selfishness, and we naturally do what we think is good for ourselves, often at the expense of others. So we put on a layer of respectability. But we know deep down we are deeply flawed, and we are part of the world's problem. And the result is we end up hurting each other, and more importantly, we dishonor the God who made us, and we keep him at arm's length. In fact, naturally speaking, I don't want God in my life. Thank you very much. I think he's a cosmic interferer. I am the boss of my life. But the problem is, God is the boss in reality, and he will hold us accountable for how we have treated both him and each other. But that is why Christmas is good news. Because the amazing thing is, the God who made the world and who loves each and every individual in this world, including you and me, came down into our world to clear up our mess. Our biggest problem is ourselves. Our biggest need is forgiveness from God. But he loves us so much. He came into our world to be born as a human being, Jesus Christ, and then to go from the crib to the cross and to die for us on a cross so that we could be forgiven. On the cross, Jesus took the penalty for our wrongdoing so that we could be friends with God again, forgiven, knowing God personally. God is not distant. He loves us and has come into our world. Christmas is not a nice story to entertain the children. It really is the answer to the brokenness and darkness and pain of our world. God himself coming to our world for our sakes. The Christian faith is not good advice. It is good news. Good news of great joy. And then lastly, why is Christmas good news? Because it's for all people, not just for good people. It's for all people, not just for good people. And we discover this in the other title that the angels give to Jesus. Remember what they say. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So not only is Jesus the Savior, he is also the Lord, the King of Kings. Often people say to me that Christianity is just for nice, good, church-going folk. Actually, that is completely untrue. For a start, you should really meet our congregation. Secondly, Jesus is king over the whole world, the whole universe. And all of us need to submit to him and accept him as our Savior because we all need his forgiveness. We're all made by him for a relationship with him. And one day, each and every one of us will stand before him to give an account. It's fascinating that the first people the angels told about Jesus were shepherds. In the ancient world, in this part of Judea, shepherds were really the outcasts of society. Quite literally, they were on the outskirts of society. But the angels came to them first as a way of saying, God saying, look, this good news is for all people, including people like shepherds, including people like me and you. And one day, all of us will stand before Jesus, and he will say to us, what did you do with my offer of forgiveness and friendship? And there are two responses to that question. The first is, well, Lord, I didn't do anything with it, frankly. I wasn't that bothered. I was more interested in doing what I wanted, having fun, living my life. In which case, the Lord Jesus will say to you, well, you can have no part of my heaven because you don't want anything to do with me. You don't love me. The other response is, Lord, I accepted you as my Savior and King. I accepted your forgiveness and I sought to follow you. To which Jesus will say to that person, welcome home. Welcome home. And all of us need to make up our minds on Jesus. Christmas is an excellent time to do that because Christmas is not for the religious or for good people or for traditional people or church people. It is actually for everyone, whatever our background or ethnicity, our moral track record. because there is a God who rules the world, and that is excellent news. Everything matters because God holds us to account. If there is no God, nothing ultimately matters. And that is miserable news of great sadness for everyone. But friends, praise God for Christmas, because Christmas says there is good news of great joy for all people. There is a Saviour who loves us and who longs for us to be in right relationship with him. So as we celebrate another Christmas, I want to give you a challenge. And that is this Christmas, please do not let it pass without seriously thinking about the offer of Jesus Christ. Think intentionally about why Christmas really matters. Because Christmas is about truth, not myth. It is about the cross, not a crib. It's for all people, not just good people. If you do want to think more about it, then there are these little booklets called Christmas in Three Words, which just explain a little bit more. You can find them at the back as you leave. And there are also copies of Luke's Gospel available for you. Both those things are free. I'd love you to take a copy of those things. You see, the great thing is this world is not joyless and black. There really is joy to be had. Joy in knowing God in Jesus Christ, the God who loves us. And friends, that is why Christmas is good news of great joy for all people. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing our final carol. Our gracious Lord, we thank you so much that you did not abandon us in our mess, but you came to us in your Son Jesus to live a perfect life, to die for us on the cross, to rise again from death, so that we could know your forgiveness and friendship. And we pray that each and every one of us would seriously examine that truth for us this Christmas and bow the knee before you, our Saviour and King. Amen.